Let's go over to Isaiah 55 today. But God said, let us make man in our image. And so he stooped down and he formed Adam of the earth, and a new life form appeared that was like God. And this means that we were created to have the freedom of choice. We're able to make decisions with our life, and we're able to plan, and we're able to work to make that plan a reality. But it also means that we look like God, that he has eyes, and he has ears, and he has arms, and he has legs, and so on. But what's he like in other ways? God is very different from us in the enormous power that he has. And he created this physical universe, and of course, as he did it at his command. He has absolutely phenomenal abilities, and so in Isaiah 55 and verse 9, it says this, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Let's go to Romans 11. His ways are vastly higher than ours. He has vastly greater abilities, phenomenal abilities, and I want us to think about those a little bit today. So you go over to Romans 11. Romans 11. His thoughts, he says, are higher than ours. The Apostle Paul wrote this, who has known the mind of God? Well, no one but Jesus Christ has known his mind or had any idea of the level that it works on. So in Romans 11 and verse 33, the apostle wrote this, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Today, I suggest that the wisdom and the knowledge of God is far greater than you and I have been able to conceive. He created the entire universe and the vast array of different flowers and foliage and beautiful plants and trees. He created the enormous number of different kinds and varieties of animal life. He made the intricate cell and the molecule and all of its parts and the awesome atom. And we, I believe, don't even know some of the things yet, that the microscopes haven't been able to go deep enough to see everything that exists in this subatomic world that he has made. And in all of this, he didn't need a textbook. He wasn't turning to page, let's see, 53, what does it say here? How do I make an atom? He wasn't trying to figure it out, you see, by looking in some textbook or going online and trying to find the information. He knew how to do it already in his mind, and then he spoke it, and the power of his voice brought it all into existence, just exactly as he had planned. Further, he knows where each piece of his creation is right now, this minute. Now today, I want you to consider just the stars alone. The scientists don't know how many stars there really are. They don't know, but there is an organization that exists, and they're trying to find out. They've been doing this for a number of years now. It's the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. And they write on their website, the Sloan Digital Sky Survey is the most ambitious astronomical survey ever undertaken. When completed, it will provide detailed optical images covering more than a quarter of the entire sky. Its use is dedicated to a 2.5-meter telescope on Apache Point, New Mexico, and it's equipped with two powerful special-purpose instruments, a 120-megapixel camera that can image 1.5 square degrees of sky at a time, and a pair of spectrographs fed by optical fibers that can measure spectrums of more than 600 galaxies and quasars in a single observation. So over the course of 5 years, they intend to image more than 8,000 square degrees of the sky in five band passes, detecting more than 675,000 galaxies. 990,000 quasars, 185,000 stars. So when they're done, they're going to have covered a quarter of the sky think when the entire sky has been viewed, they'll be able to see over 2,700,000 different galaxies. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is very awesome, of course. There are thousands, I think 3,000 million stars. That's just in our galaxy. And then you can probably multiply that by 700 by the time that they get to what is known in the universe. And this is only, again, our single galaxy. There are other galaxies and things that they haven't seen yet. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Let's go to Psalm 147. We can measure the visible universe, and it's only what they can see now. But what amazes me is that God knows the address of every single one of the stars, and yet it's always changing. Their address is always changing. I want you to think just for a minute about this. You are sitting here in this room, and you are traveling at 1,000 miles an hour because the Earth is spinning at that speed. But I want you to realize, too, that the sun is very large, and because of its gravitational pull, we're pulled right along with it, and it's moving at 43,000 miles an hour in another direction, and we're going around it. But then the whole Milky Way galaxy is going at 1.3 miles per hour as it flies out into space. And so all that's going on right now in all those different positions, and yet he knows where every hair of your head is. What kind of mind does God have that he knows all of these things? In Psalm 147, verse 4, he tells the numbers of the stars. He calls them all by name. He knows every single one, and each one has a name, and each one has an address, and he knows the coordinates of each one, and he knows the coordinates, what they're going to be 1,000 years from now. He knows right where they'll be. That's the kind of mind that God has. It's an amazing thing. He can do all that and know all that and keep it all in his head. Now that brings up a question today, doesn't it? What about us? We're made in his image. And we can't remember all the names of the different stars, can we? In fact, lately, as I get older, it's getting more and more difficult. As I get older, I say to people that I think more and more of the hereafter, the older I get. In fact, the other day I was just going downstairs, and I got down there and I wondered, what am I hereafter? But you understand my point, don't you? That we aren't like that in the same way that he is. You understand my point. We always can't comprehend what calculus is doing. You and I might spend hours of agonizing time striving to learn how to play an instrument. Remember how much trouble it was to learn how to type. We have to put a lot of effort into it. And you know, we don't always remember things. I mean, how many wives have heard this? Honey, have you seen my keys? Probably a lot of wives have heard men say that. Because we can't even remember where we left our keys, much less thousands of stars. So how are we made in God's image, you see? Now, this is the sermon I want to speculate in. And I want everyone to know this isn't church teaching. This is Art Bredig's heresy. It's just me speculating on something I've thought about for a number of years and I've wanted to talk about, but haven't done so until now. So it's just speculation. But today I want to ask this question. Is it possible that at one time man actually had greater abilities than we have today? Is there a time when we weren't so forgetful? Was there a time when we had perfect recall? Did this time ever exist? And I just want to speculate on this. Was it a time when we thought and had minds more like God's? And did something happen to change that? I mean, it is possible. I don't know if you've been to Lake McDonald yet. Maybe some will see it today, but it's just gorgeous. And in the morning, when it's calm, you can look out on that beautiful lake, and it's just like a mirror. And the trees all around it and the surrounding magnificent rising glaciers are reflected in it perfectly. But you could take a stone and you could skip it across the water and it bounce across the water and it would mar that perfect image, wouldn't it? And I suggest today that sin has marred our image of God. Not just what we see of Him, but the way we're made in His image has been marred in a similar way. And that's why I think there are certain limitations we have that are so different from that God has, and that at one time we had a much deeper and much greater memory, perhaps. You know, most of us have learned today that we use, and we've heard this expression, we only use about 10% of our brain. When I looked this up, I found that this is patently not true, that scientists have done scans on the brain, and they say we use all of our brain, and so they're really looking for how is it people have superior abilities, and where does intelligence come from? And so let's go to Job, if you would. Job 32. See, there is all this potential. They realize is there that the brain doesn't use. And so they're looking to reasons why. But when they scan the brain, they see that we're using all of our brain. And so they're wondering about this. Where is the connection? What's the connection here? How do we have these people that are vastly more intelligent than others? And what they can't do, of course, is they can't measure what the difference is, because they can't measure that which is spiritual. And we have something in our mind, a spirit element connected to human brain that gives us our intellect. And so it says in Job 32 and verse 8, Job 32 and verse 8, where it says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." And so you understand with this connection to a spirit in man, this gives us enormous abilities far above all the other animals. And it's that connection between our brain and that spirit. And that's why they can't measure it, you see, because they can't measure the spirit. And so they can't tell what this is. But there is this element the brain taps into. This is why it seems like people use different parts of their brain and why some people have different kinds of intellect. And I remember that years ago when I was in college and I took psychology, that they did a test on a man and they took him and he had had a mental a brain image injury, and they cut a piece of his skull out. And they put probes in his brain with his permission. And they would put these very slight voltages in there in the probe. And he would remember things from the distant past that he couldn't remember without the probe. But you see, it was in there. And what was so interesting is he remembered being in the principal's office 20 years ago as a little boy. And he said he remembered reading the name of the pencil that he was writing with. It was a number 2 pencil. And he could read the writing on the pencil. But you understand my point is that every single thing you smell, every single thought you think, every single thing you feel, everything that you look at, it's in your mind. It's there permanently, but it's not in the brain. It's in the spirit in a man that is recording these things in your mind. And that's by which God will resurrect us and give us complete memory of everything we've ever had before, or ever seen, or ever done. And it is that spirit in a man that he'll use to do this. And it is recording all the time every single piece of what and who we are and what we do and what we experience. And so, because of that, sometimes we see unusual things in life. Fleury was a young boy. He could grasp little of language. However, there were times when he astounded scientists. He had the ability to do lightning-like math problems. He could do feats of calculation, in fact, with speed and accuracy that just defied any kind of human explanation at all. 12 of Europe's greatest scholars went to meet this man, and they came to him. He didn't believe, and so they asked him a question. They said, if you had 64 boxes and 1 grain of corn, and you put 1 grain of corn in the first box, and then in the next box you put twice as many grains of corn, and then twice as much in the succeeding box, and you kept doing that until you had filled all 64 boxes. They said, how much would you have? Trying to trick him. And he answered this. He said, well, let's see. That would be 8 quintillion. 446 quadrillion, 734 trillion, 73 billion, 709 million, 551,615 grains of corn. And they figured it out, he was right. How could he do that in just seconds? It's just amazing, isn't it? Most of us never heard of a man called Kim Peek, however you probably have heard of the movie Rain Man. Well, that Rain Man movie was patterned after Kim Peek. He was an inspiration of the character played by Dustin Hoffman in the movie at the time. And what he can do is just astounding. The man has read some 12,000 books, and he reads an average of 8 books a week. They call him Computer, lovingly, because he remembers every single thing that he reads. And besides that, he reads both pages at once. He reads this page with his left eye, and he reads this page with his right eye, and never forgets any of it. It's an amazing mind. But he has trouble dressing himself in the morning. But he's using a different part of the brain is connected to that spirit in a man. Something is different there. And so he has these amazing abilities. You tell him a date, he'll tell you what day of the week it was. He remembers every piece of music he's ever heard. Just an amazing phenomena. There's another case of Leslie Lemick. He didn't have a great start in life either. He was born with a number of birth defects, and the doctors were required to remove his eyes as just a little boy. His mother gave him up for adoption, but it was May Lemick who said, as a nurse, I'll adopt him. She had 5 other kids, but she still took on this one. You can't imagine the kind of love it would take to do that. But as a child, he grew up intrigued with music. One day, his parents said they found him under the bed, strumming the springs in the bed. And he was making music with the springs under the bed. And then at 16 years old, they woke up in the middle of the night and they heard this sound. What is it? And they didn't understand. They went down, and there he had, that night, they had watched television. They had played Tchaikovsky's first concerto. And now he had repeated it exactly on the piano, only having heard it one time. Amazing. And he's gone on to do concerts for presidents and prime ministers. In 1984, he gave a command performance for the Crown Prince and Princess of Norway without any musical training at all. None. Not one bit. Never knew how to read a note. Just had it in him. See, these people are born savants. And there are about 50 of them today. And not everyone has the same kind of abilities and defects. And what's really interesting to me today is that there are some savants that were never born savant. They've experienced injuries. Some have had an epileptic fit. Others were hit by an object in the brain, and all of a sudden, bang, a change takes place, and now they have phenomenal abilities that they never, ever had before. And so this shows something to me. The abilities already lie within the human mind. Not necessarily the brain, but in the human mind, these kinds of abilities are already there. So is it there inside you? Is it there inside our minds, and yet we just can't tap it? Well, scientists have hope that one day they'll be able to wire up the brain so that people can use some of these enormous skills that they realize are there. And they have this hope because one amazing man. While there's about 50 true savants in the world today, not one of them is like this one, Daniel Tammet. He is articulate, he's self-sufficient, and he's learned how to adapt himself. You know how most savants are kind of antisocial? Well, he's not like that, but he has to make himself not be like that. He writes that in a book that he has to remember that you can't stand in another person's space. So he doesn't do it. But he's learned how to adapt to our society and function through it. And he's learned that when you go to a funeral and somebody's mother's died, that it's not a good time to discuss some of the philosophical aspects of death. But he has to make himself remember those things. But in the meantime, he has these phenomenal abilities. And for example, he can quote pi, which is a never-ending, non-repeating decimal, to 22,000 places. It takes him 5 hours to do it, and every single one of those digits is right on. Can you imagine having that kind of a memory? You can give him a string of numbers this way, and he can tell them to you the way you gave them to him. He can tell them to you backwards if that's what you want. He can remember any day of the week. Memorized this to 22 places. So I want to play a clip today about this man and a couple of these other men, and I want you to just get a little bit of an idea of what the brain and the mind of a human being is capable of.
Okay, 5, 7, 10, 4. I Daniel story is what I think it takes. They have this freedom. Instead of even say impossible. Impossible for a human to be in this event. Just anywhere. That's the outside world for impossible. We have to make this free. We have to make this free.
With a day to go before Daniel's live chat show, his teacher's early doubts were turning to amazement.
It was like a vacuum cleaner. I can see he was sucking up the world stuff. And he was just putting it in his brain.
Little by little, hour by hour, I'm just beginning to tune in and hear more and more of the language and understand more and more of it. It's one thing to chat with a teacher. Speaking live to a quarter of a million people is the real test.
I have no idea what will come out tomorrow night. If you get too stressed, nothing is going to come out.
The 7 days are up, and Daniel is making last-minute preparations before he goes live on air.
Perfect aerial view of life.
out, Stephen has drawn one of the most complex buildings, the Colosseum, so precisely, it's practically a blueprint of reality. Stephen was also accurate in the instances we checked of nameless buildings on side streets. Had he had more time,
of course, you're probably impressed with that because you haven't seen my stick figures. What this shows us to me is that we have these abilities within the human mind, and it's a connection with the Spirit of God, and it shows us the kind of mind that God has, that God can draw that in even more detail and in less time. God can command the pen to draw it without him even touching the pen. And it is these amazing abilities and this appreciation of God that I want us to consider today. And so it's the reason I showed this clip. Well, let's go to Genesis 11, if you will. Genesis 11. Tammut, he could perform these after having some seizures, and something happened to his head. Orlando, he was hit by a baseball. Something changed the connection. Something changed the connection there. But again, it shows us that we have these kinds of abilities within us, and for some reason, we're unable to tap into them right now. What prevents that? What prevents that? And that's where I want to speculate today for us for a minute. I know that we're only grasping at things that we don't understand. However, if correct, the ramifications are astounding. Is it God that has changed this in us? Did he put some sort of limitation on our abilities? And at one time, could man do more with his mind than he can today? Because there was a time when God intervened to change something in the mind of man. Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And so, in the ancient 12th century writings, it talks about them being, these men being the first masons, actually, in an ancient writing. But they were building a tower to reach into the heavens. And the word heavens here is 8064 in Strong's, and it says from an unused root, meaning to be lofty, the sky, or dual, alluding to the visible arch in which the clouds move, or the high ether where the celestial bodies resolve. So we don't know exactly what the building was. We just know it was a brick tower. Was it 20 feet high? Was it something else? Was it connected with a different kind of technology? We use a carbon-based technology today, but could it be possible to use an occult technology, as some do in the spirit world today, and they claim they have power, such as over in Haiti and in voodoo and so on? So is there another way to connect and use and direct power in a way that is terribly destructive? Or was it just a means to ascend to the celestial bodies? We don't know what the answer is. But we do know this, that there was a time when God intervened to stop man, and there was another time before this. There was the flood, wasn't there? And so there was one point where man became so self-destructive that perhaps no flesh would be left alive, and God intervened with a flood. And then he shortened the length of life that man lives. He's no longer going to live that long, so he's going to be able to do less damage, is the thinking, you see. So he intervened at that time to limit man's abilities. And now he has come to another point in humankind's life in Genesis 11:5-6. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And then he says, and this is important, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Well, my point today is that they were doing something that was threatening God's timetable. He had to intervene to stop them from doing this so that the timetable would remain in place. Because he said, now nothing will be restrained from them. There'll be whatever they imagine in their mind, they'll be able to do it. And so there was a danger here, and he had to do something in verse 7 and verse 8. So let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So I want us to think about this for a minute. You know, I say it was threatening God's timetable because of this. Listen, he must have done more than just change a language here, because in 50, 60, 75, 100 years later, there'd be just as many people speaking the same language. You understand my point? That it would be easy enough for them to start all over again if it was just language. God had to have done something more than just change their language at this time. So I want you to think right now, the tallest skyscraper is in, I think it's Bupaye. It's 2,257 feet high in September 1, and it does, God isn't coming down to confound anybody's language. That's a pretty high skyscraper, you know. So you understand my point. There was something more going on than just building something high into the sky, more that meets the eye. So God said nothing would be impossible to them. So God tells us what he did was he changed their language. But in order to change their language, he had to go into the mind, into the brain, and he had to make a different connection. And that's what I think is interesting to me, because this is where he would make it. He would make it where this link is to the spirit in man. And I think at this time he may have limited man's intellect in some way. Now, you may think I'm reading too much into this story, but something more was certainly taking place than what we see originally. And we recognize that. Something was going on that was a threat and caused God to intervene. So this can happen, this thing of people having their languages change can happen even today, and there's accounts of it that I've read in a number of cases. My two Coast teammates heard him talking after he was knocked out on a speedway accident. They were relieved that he was conscious, the London Evening Standard reports. But they were also a little surprised, for although the 18-year-old Czech knew only the most basic English phrases, he was conversing fluently in the language of paramedics. After the accident, team spokesman Lawrence Heppel said he was out cold for about 45 minutes, and he has been told by the medics to rest for at least a month. But he originally could only string two or three words of English together. Now he can speak it like a native. It's incredible. Mr. Wade added, I've heard of other people getting knocked out and waking up speaking fluent Italian. In one case, even developing a Welsh accent. I never really believed it was possible, but this incredible thing was happening right in front of us. And so you understand my point. You get clobbered in the head and now you speak a different language. Why? Because the adjustment, some adjustment is made in your brain in the way it connects with the spirit in man somehow is what I believe. But my point is we have the ability for different languages in our mind already. We have the ability to do beautiful artwork in our mind already. We have that because of a link with God. And so there is something to me that I think this shows us. And the first thing that it shows us is the phenomenal ability of the mind of our God. Phenomenal ability of the mind of our God. Acts 3 and verse 21. There's nothing impossible to God. And you and I are going to one day be changed to be like Him. And this, to me, is an astounding thing. Those kinds of abilities are in, I believe, the spirit in man now, but I believe that somehow there's a governor. Somehow there's a limit to what we're able to do. And sometimes, because of an accident or because of a seizure, those limits are moved a little bit. Not that a person has full capabilities, as we saw, but in one spot here or one spot there, we get a little insight into what man is capable of, or I say what he was at one time capable of. And so in Acts 3, in verse 21, it says this, speaking of Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. That is, there's coming a restoration of all things. All things are going to be restored. Well, when it says all things, is it talking about the number of years that a man lives again? Will it be 10 times? We live 1/10. Well, will we have 10 times the mental and capabilities, the musical capabilities? Will we have these kinds of powers and be made in the image of God and not have to ask, honey, have you seen my keys? You see, because we'll have the kinds of abilities that are God-like. Isaiah 35. He'll reestablish his government. And he's going to do a very marvelous thing in healing mankind. Verse 3 of chapter 35 of Isaiah, strengthen the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, a God with recompense, and he will come after those trumpet plagues and save us. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and then shall the lame man walk a leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And so it is a glorious, glorious time that is coming. He's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to give hearing back to those who have lost their hearing. And the people that aren't able to speak, like me sometimes, he's going to give the ability to speak again. A man is going to be able to jump like a hart. He's going to be able to leap, not like just you and I can leap, but leap like some of the athletes to train and train and train to jump like a hart. My question is, will he lengthen the life of man as it was originally? Will we all go back to having one language again? Yes, we will, won't we? There's going to be a single language. And my question is, will man go to a point where he has been made in the image of God and he can perform things like God can perform them only in the physical world? So I'm asking us to think about this in terms of the mind of the Almighty God and what he is actually capable of as we sit here spinning through space to know exactly where you are and exactly what you're doing and where it's all going to be tomorrow. He is a marvelous, marvelous God. And that we have just a piece of that kind of intelligence. And Tammet doesn't even come close to what God can do. If you want to re-list, have a contest, see how far we can repeat pi. He invented pi. You understand my point. It's a marvelous God. But I ask you the question because it's speculation. I really believe it, but it's still speculation. And so I can't teach it as a truth. but I believe he will restore man's ability to have abilities far greater than Tammuz. That it'll be all of those things put together. You understand? When we're raised and we are facing God and we're standing at the throne, you and I are going to be playing harps. Do you think you have to learn how to do that? You got to study for about 6 years before you can play those harps? No. It's already in there. Just like the math is already in there. He doesn't have to figure it out. He just sees the answers. That's the kind of mind that God has. But my point to you is this. What if it is the restoration of all things and God raises up humankind and now with Christ ruling on the earth and 144,000 ruling with him throughout the earth, governing the cities, and there's no more war and there's no more destruction and there isn't a threat like that, can man have these abilities? And then I ask you, what kind of world will that be? Because there is coming the end, which today celebrates, of a millennial reign with God. The eighth day they took down the tabernacle. Today is the end of the millennium, spiritually speaking. And so my point is, this is be the time when all those who ever lived will be raised. Think of the civilization. Think of the society they'll be raised into. A society with beautiful architecture and gorgeous paintings and the music the likes of which Beethoven never dreamt of. It's going to be a magnificent society, beautiful in every way. And they'll have a chance then to make their choice.